Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe the tweet of the century. So Mikey Over, he's a CBS contributor on X. He's his bio, just paying for the drinks, Providence College CBS Sports Line. He tweeted yesterday with a picture of Landry Kiffin and her boyfriend from LSU. Landry Kiffin announcing her relationship with an LSU linebacker the week of the game day is a crazy move. The Kiffin household must be in shambles. Reeks of one thing, the over. At 9:30 last night, Lane Kiffin decided to respond, and he just said, simply, take the over.
Let's go. I love it. He's so funny.
Why don't people
like him?
Tennessee fans don't like him because he abandoned them. Yeah. Trade them.
Who did he leave for Tennessee to go to? Was it to the Raiders, or did he leave the Raiders to go to Tennessee? USC was in there for a hot minute.
That's why people don't like him, is because he's left everywhere.
He leaves everywhere.
But Ole Miss, he hasn't.
There's ways to look at that, though. At one point in my career, somebody in this building told me, you're viewed as a job jumper. I'm like, this is my third job. I mean, a job jumper. But also, too, there's something to be said of staying ahead of things. You know, if you're at a place and if you're Lane Kiffin, let's just use this as an example, and you're getting down to the last year of your contract and you're asking for a new contract and they're dragging their feet, well, then hell yes, you're going to explore other opportunities. Now, did he do that? Probably not. He probably looked and jump when he could jump. But if somebody also comes after you and makes you an offer that you can't refuse, why are we trying to hold people back? And did he ever make a jump that was less than where he currently was, you know, when you talk about perception? I mean, he went from the Raiders, which was a sinking ship, obviously, with a owner that had an overhead projector of why he fired him, to, what did he go to, Tennessee? Then from Tennessee to USC at that point in time, that's an upgrade in jobs. And then the USC thing didn't work out. Now he's at Ole Miss, which is the SEC, which you could say USC isn't, you know, the bee's knees anymore. You know, the SEC is kind of that place to be, and he's turned Ole Miss into a pretty good program. So why do we hate him again?
He left Tennessee.
Okay.
Come on, Bob. Come on.
I think he also just kind of got left your what?
My balls.
Oh. I think he also just kind of has that sort of face.
Yeah.
Young guy in the league.
But he's not young anymore.
Not anymore, but this is, I'm going back to what you were talking about, because he was a prodigy of Saban, and then leaves Saban, goes and does his own thing, goes to the NFL for a half a minute, and then, jump ship everywhere else. And we almost got Lane Kiffin 2.0 with Lincoln Riley. Now, he's still in USC, but I mean, that dude... put Caleb Williams in against that Red River Shootout, took out Spencer Rattler, brought the team back with Caleb. All of a sudden, he pulled the Al Pacino from Any Given Sunday. I'm done here. And by the way, with my first take for the expansion team, I'm taking Willie Beeman. I'm going to take Caleb Williams to USC, and we're going to do our thing there.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I don't know. I think Lane Kiffin also kind of brought himself back when he would go shopping with his – I think it was with his daughter.
Yeah.
He would go shopping, and she would show him outfits or buy clothes. And he'd be like, how much money are you spending? She's like, it's fine. You have it. And he's well, I understand that, but do you understand the value? And then all of a sudden it was you don't kind of like this Lane Kiffin guy.
Yeah.
He's like me,
It's funny.
Dad, I want something to eat from DoorDash. Well, use your money to buy it.
That's exactly like, right.
I don't need to use it.
Let's spending $35 on a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I'll tell you that right now. If you want to waste that money, you go ahead. It's a delicious chicken sandwich, but I'm not paying for the DoorDash, you know, side of things.
That pretzel chicken sandwich, though.
It does look really good. I'm not going to lie, but I can get my car and drive there, right?
Right.
But I just think with Lane Kiffin, like he's done a 180, right? He was a guy that everybody just disliked. And now everybody kind of likes because you're finding out he's actually just a real human being, right? He's not.
Well, he's dry, too. Like, he's not, you know, over the top, funny, ha-ha. Like, he's not like Dan Campbell where he's just a huge jock nerd. He's just one of those, like, he's kind of like if Gruden was serious. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he knows the game. He's got the credentials. He's got the kind of that, you know, arrogant coach look. And then you talk to him, you're like, you know, I'd probably have a few sodas with Lane Kiffin on the patio.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be the guy that takes himself seriously. A lot of these coaches and a lot of people in high-level sports think they're just, you know, God's gift, and they're not. They're just human beings. They don't want to act like human beings and have not normal human conversations. I can't tell you how many people over the years I've run into. I'm like, just have a human conversation. We don't need to be like this, right? And you know, you've got to find a way to relate to your fans, to relate to the people. I think Lane Kiffin's done a really good job of doing that. I kind of root for the guy now, right?
Yeah, and I think if...
You probably don't. I understand that. I'll never root for Roy Williams in my life, but yeah.
Because of Hannah, I'm kind of forced to. You know, she's an Ole Miss alum, so I'm going to root for Lane Kiffin.
Oh, I thought he was like a cougar she was into.
No, because she's his coach, thinks he's cute, but I mean, that changes within the game. We'll see what... If they beat LSU, if they lose to LSU, he sucks. If they beat LSU, he's the greatest. That's what Hannah is, you know, with college football.
Well, everybody's though. I mean,
classic fan.
Yeah, it's college football.
I think also the thing that was the hatred that Lane Kiffin got was not what he did. It was more so the perception that people gave him, like, why is this guy getting an NFL job? Why is he getting USC? I understand. That's what I'm getting at. So it's like he got the Raiders, USC, Tennessee, three jobs. I think one
Those
NFL
are primo
job,
jobs,
right?
Dude.
And it's like, what has he done? And you're like, why is he getting all this? And it's like, is it, you know, because of Monty? Is it because of all this stuff? Or is it because he really has this? And now he's found home at Ole Miss. And now you're looking at a prodigy that he has in the NFL that might be starting over Russell Wilson in New York. And who knows what Jackson Dart becomes?
I mean, what if Jackson Dart becomes a superstar overnight in New York, right?
Depends on how he'll talk about Lane Kiffin in his career.
Good point. Yeah.
Like if he goes back and he's like, you know, at Ole Miss when Lane was there and he taught me how to do this and handle this sort of stuff and told me when I get into the NFL because he had been there, this is what's going to be like. I give Lane a lot of props. And all of a sudden everybody goes,
he's the quarterback whisperer in college now all of a sudden, right? That's how that works, right? Is a guy has a big star come out in college and everybody wants to go play that position for that guy. So it'll be real interesting to see how his Q rating kind of changes, you know, over the next couple of weeks. I would imagine Jackson Dart is probably going to start this week for the Giants. I mean, how do you continue to roll Russell Wilson out there who threw to a vestibule and a pole? And so you've got to put Jackson Dart out there. And if he does do well, you're right, man. That thing with Lane Kiffin is going to soar right now.
We'll see. I mean, they do have really cool uniforms at Ole Miss. Those powder blues, whites, and reds.
Yeah, they've got a lot of cool things at Ole Miss.
Nerd stat that means nothing to you.
Yeah, Bob, you started. You found this nerd stat and kind of gave me, I kind of felt the green light to add some to it.
SummerSports.com.
So. Yeah, it's something in the nerd world that they use offensive team stats like
EPA.
EPA. Because
expected
it's not,
points added.
Expected points added. And the Kansas City Chiefs are sitting at number 6 in the NFL with that. And I saw a tweet from some other nerd out there that said, wow, that's pretty impressive because when you look at the games, you probably don't think they're one of the better.
You're like, what?
Yeah. And he said, if Travis Kelce makes that catch in the end zone, the Chiefs are a top 4 team in expected points per play, the EPA or whatever they say. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that and I went, huh. I mean, maybe that's a way for you to see maybe a bigger picture if you're a stat nerd that this offense isn't that far off from where it truly needs to be. It's a couple of plays away from potentially where it needs to be. So I look at that nerd stat. I'm like, see, I don't think they're that far off. I think they are a couple of plays away. I think they're obviously two big players away from changing things up on the offensive side of the football. But then I saw that nerd stat. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not really in the wrong that much because if the nerds are saying this offense isn't as bad as everybody's perceiving it and my eyes are saying we're not as bad and we're not as far away as we are, why do we have this perception that they're bad when the nerds and the eyes are saying both the same thing, you know?
Well, I saw that because I saw that as well, and I was like, damn, what? Because I love EPA.
I know you
here.
Do. That's why I brought it up.
Big proponent of EPA. I've also been a big proponent that this offense has looked bad, right? So I'm like, what? This doesn't make sense. So I dug in, got further into it, right? So this is literally because of Patrick Mahomes.
Well, no question.
This
yeah.
is like,
yeah.
it's crazy. And we know that, right? Like, no duh, he's carrying. But like, yeah. it's insane when you look at it. So we're 15th.
No dip.
15th, no dip, bro. 15th in EPA per pass. So right in the middle, right in the middle as far as passing the ball, they're in the middle. Fourth in EPA per rush. They're a top four rushing team, according to EPA in the National Football League. So I said, what? How? They're 15th in rushing yards. I took away Patrick Mahomes' rushing yards. They're 30th.
Yeah.
They would go down to like 26th in EPA per rush if you took away Mahomes running the football.
Now you sound like Dick Vermeil. Take out those three touchdowns they scored in the first quarter and we win the game. Well, you can't do that, Dick.
I'm just saying, take away Mahomes' heroic magic stuff, off script, doing everything by himself. When we actually just design runs and run the ball, it's not good. Mahomes, with no receivers, with Tyquan Thornton and the remnants of Hollywood Brown.
That's your guy, though. You're going to say he's a no receiver?
With no one or two receivers. Yeah, no yeah, guys no, he who can get open by themselves.
Know,
you know,
just being...
with, he is on pace for 3,800 yards, 18 passing touchdowns, 11 rushing touchdowns, and only 6 interceptions.
Washed.
That's crazy.
Insane.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
insane.
Think people realize how good Patrick Mahomes is playing right now. The guy has changed who he's been as a quarterback drastically every year yep. over the last 4 years.
So cut this segment, send it to Steven.Spector at odyssey.com.
I will.
Because he said maybe Mahomes just isn't good anymore.
Maybe he just sucks, man.
That ought to get you ran out of town.
Him and Mitchell Schwartz are probably sitting right now discussing Patrick Mahomes not being good enough.
What are you doing over there, Spec? I'm just loosening up my arm.
Go play for the Chiefs this week.
It's 8:30 on a Tuesday. You know what that means, Mac. Hit it up.
He's the first voice you hear 3 hours before kickoff and the first voice you hear after the final whistle.
Future Hall of Fame receiver, future Hall of Fame quarterback, being able to figure it out for the last half of the season.
Here's the new Chiefs Radio Network pregame and postgame show host, Josh Briscoe.
They say the new or the nude Chiefs pre and post game radio host.
Either way, my friend Paul, whose parents are going to the Ryder Cup, he always wanted me to call it Nude Radio 980 KMBZ back in the day when we were younger and do all the shows naked. I was like, I'm in. I have no problem doing that.
Nude or no nude, it is Josh Briscoe joining us now on the show. What a hell of an introduction that is, Briscoe. Let's dive right into it. Some say a win's a win, but how you feeling about this team 3 weeks into the season?
Okay, sorry. I was just,
you are
just trying to meet you as a standard. I wasn't before the segment started, but I thought, you know what? I'm at home. Nobody can see me right now. Let's go ahead and do this thing with the level of energy that is required. I feel amazing now, suddenly. I feel the breeze on my skin. I really will take it, guys. I mean, the idea of a win over the Giants in week 3 feeling like a season-saving moment was not on my bingo card, but they had to win, right? Like, the method matters, the process matters, but in this case, the result mattered 10 times more. So all of the things that we will talk about here over the next 15 minutes or whatever, all of that will be through the lens of there are a lot of places where things can still get better. I am kind of lukewarm on where the offense stands right now, although I think you guys just talked about a couple good canaries in the coal mine. Is that an option? I'm not sure.
100%.
I think that there is good stuff to build upon, but none of the little details that we're going to kick around now would have mattered if they would have lost, because right. it just would have been, okay, well, they're 0-3, and then they're going to be 0-4, and then maybe they can be 1-5, and then they're going to be 1-6, and now there's a little bit of gas in the tank, which was very much needed.
Yeah, no question. They needed that win, and winning begats winning, right? You take a win and you feel good about yourself. You're like, all right, we got a victory. We know we can do it. We beat a bad team. That's the most important thing. And then you watch the Ravens last night and you went, damn, that defense can't stop anybody in Baltimore right now. Maybe this is a weekend where we can get our offense healthy.
Isn't it amazing, by the way, with the way that the vibes have gone for this Chiefs team opposite that Ravens team, mm-hmm. where now, with it all being said and done, they're going to meet at Arrowhead as a pair of 1-2 teams that both lost to two good teams and beat a pretty bad one. And now the Ravens beat the Browns in week two. Right. They just beat the Packers. Football's weird. You're always going to have those fine margins. The Giants look pretty good against the Cowboys, and then maybe the Cowboys just stink. But that really is why I know we all kind of roll our eyes at some point every time Andy Reid says, well, you know, it's hard to get a win in this league. And we all think about the Panthers game last year as a win that felt like a loss. There is truth to that, though. Like, our mutual friend Nate Taylor always says, real football doesn't start till Thanksgiving. That's only true if you're winning games in September and October, when you can afford to look ahead to Thanksgiving for when the real stuff really starts. So again, yeah, I am heartened by the victory.
Yeah, no, I am too, and I'm the guy who said years ago the regular season doesn't matter, and I still stand by that. When you're the Chiefs, the goal is to, you know, what you do in January and February is how you get your season determined, but you got to get there. And you know, Sunday was a good step into kind of righting this ship and getting there and just kind of treading water. I hear that from a lot of people, Josh, both inside the organization and around the NFL. They're like, if the Chiefs can just tread water for these first six games and they get these wide receivers back, it's going to open everything else up. I agree with that, but we also need more out of our offensive line. And I'm talking about Creed and Trey more than anybody. Juwan Taylor's now low-hanging fruit. 71's one of the best tackles in the game right now. And the offensive line still isn't good. Trey and Creed need to raise their level of play now.
I think calling those that duo Treed is actually kind of a good idea.
Treed?
Can you take me lower?
Like that. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
I think that's reasonable, and it's you know, the offensive line is a five-man operation, right? Like, it really does depend on the guys playing around you. But even with Juwan Taylor being a penalty machine, he had a really bad rep on third down on Sunday that we all saw. Even then, some of his underlying numbers removing the penalties have been pretty good.
Right.
So I'm a little bit caught there on Juwan Taylor.
So am I.
Because the penalty thing is just either inexcusable or undeniable, at least at this point, that you go, man, that's a part of his game right now. But you do need to continue to see the offensive line, and especially those two on the interior that you have paid the money to, that you do have as leaders in that, on that O-line, and guys that have the right mindset. I mean, the Chiefs paid those guys because they believe they're the right type of football players and the right type of guys to give that money to. And I tend to agree, especially Creed's just a great value because centers are kind of undervalued at this point. But the depth and width of the pocket has to give Mahomes a little more space to step into some of these throws. And then I know that there have been problems in the running back room, and Isaiah Pacheco had a couple of really rough reps that, again, I don't need to tell you any more about. You know what I'm talking about. He was running the wrong direction when Patrick Mahomes threw him the football.
Right.
We've got to see a little bit more advantage taken of some of those creases by the running back room. I think that whole operation has a lot of room to improve.
I think you and I are probably pretty similar last night watching Baltimore versus Detroit, thinking every time that Baltimore is on the field, knowing that that's your next opponent. Obviously, Detroit, you've got a couple of weeks till they come to town. But watching Baltimore, knowing that's your next opponent, going, okay, where would the Chiefs kind of, you know, stack up to this sort of drive? Where do the Chiefs look at this? Derrick Henry looks like he's got the yips with holding onto the football. Lamar Jackson was sacked 7 times because they spied somebody. You kind of put yourself in that situation like I did last night, where, okay, who's the spy guy? Is this a Leo Chanel game? Is this a Drew Tranquil game? Like, who's going to be that guy? Now, obviously, Detroit's defensive line, much better than the Kansas City Chiefs. But what say you, Briscoe, when you watched that game last night with Baltimore on the field showing that Lamar can be sacked more than a handful of times?
Yeah, you hit on the main things that a couple of times I had the thought of, like, all right, Leo, I hope you've got, I hope your knees are feeling good. I hope your ankles are feeling limber. You've got a very tough matchup coming up, but I do think it makes a lot of sense for him to get some of that spy responsibility. You can never do it all the time, because you can never let the opposing quarterback know what you're going to do every time. That's the chess match of this incredible sport. But the other thing that you also mentioned, the Lions defensive line and pass rush, the 4-man rush has obviously been much more productive. They've got one superstar on the edge.
Oh, he's good.
The Chiefs superstars on the interior, and watching Hutchinson and thinking about George Karlaftis, just in terms of, like, who's your best defensive end here and what can they do, was at times kind of frustrating. It's like, man, just imagine Karlaftis with that little bit of extra juice that takes it from a good to a great pass rusher. But the other thing that the Lions did with with really remarkable consistency. They were maintaining their rush lanes and whatever their gap responsibilities were, which I think is why you saw them so successfully kind of corralling Lamar Jackson and then bringing him down. Even then, I think this is off the back of a napkin here, but I think three of those sacks, maybe a couple of very short gains, were all brought down because of a shoestring tackle on Lamar Jackson. So you have all of these guys doing their job. You maintain that rush integrity. You're corralling the most escapable quarterback in football, and then still you got to grab him by a fingernail sometimes to bring him down by a shoelace. That's what it took for the Lions to have that kind of performance, and still it ends up being a very close, high-scoring, back-and-forth game. But I really do think that's the standard now for the Chiefs. You've got to figure out how to pressure him relatively quickly and then not give him any space to escape. That's way easier said than done, but it is heartening that the Lions were able to do it.
No doubt, especially, you know, with them coming in here, and you can get healthy from an offensive standpoint against their defense, and maybe from a defensive standpoint you can, you know, hold them down. If you hold Lamar down, you're feeling really good about yourself. I just hope it doesn't come down to a field goal. Where are you on Butker right now?
I mean, you've got to be some level of concern.
I'm very concerned, man. He should have had five misses if he doesn't hit the upright. And we're only in three games.
I think you can still have some of the, like, if you said Harrison Butker's trotting out for a 58-yarder at the end of the game, I'm going to bet that he makes it, but you can't have that kind of inconsistency throughout a game that changes how you play. Early misses are not as instantly impactful as late misses, but it changes the number of possessions you need to tie up the game later, whatever it may be. So right now, I think it's fair to say that Butker is frankly, a kicker. That is kind of the standing that he's in right now. He's kind of in the muck of a guy that has crazy range. He's had obviously incredibly clutch moments. His consistency levels with this team have been remarkable. I don't know how much this is playing into it, but he talked about trying not to collapse down to that knee this year, and then you still see him do it when he's trying to make some of those longer kicks and get a little more power. And look, I've heard him and Dave Tobe talk about it a lot, and I pay attention, but even then I'm not naive enough to tell you I got all the mechanics of kicking down as well as Harrison Butker and Dave Tobe do. But I do think that you have plenty of signs right now where you can't be 100% confident in Butker like you have been before. Weirdly, kind of in that mid-range and then even some of those shorter long kicks, if that makes sense. Again, I think there's 3 seconds left on the clock and it's Butker for 60. I think there's a really, really, really good chance he's making that kick. But that is an uncertainty that I do not like having with my kicker.
Yeah, and I think you make great points by talking about the early in the game, you know, kicks that matter so much, because both of those games could have been easily won if Harrison Butker makes his field goals and extra points.
Yep. Yeah, and that's something where we remember the mistakes of a missed tackle or an interception or a lost sack or whatever. But I do think because it's the kicking game, I think we have an inclination to go, all right, well, there's one to make up. And then all of a sudden you're chasing two-point conversions to try to get the math even. And now it should have been a tie game, and now it's a four-point game.
Exactly.
It should have been a touchdown. Now it's eight. Now it's 11. And that's a way to lose control of a game. You can't give up the points that you're counting up before the snap. If it's a missed 65-yarder that goes off the crossbar, we all know what kind of math we're working with there. But Butker's got to be as good as he's been previously. They paid him a lot of money. He's got a pretty big cap number. He's going to be on this team for a little while at least. I'm not saying that it's over. I'm here to cut bait. But it's just this is a long-term thing that needs to be fixed as much as it's a short-term thing.
Briscoe, we appreciate the time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be ready for you on Sunday with that 3:25 start a little earlier this week for you. I'm sure you enjoy that as well. So thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks, guys. This is weird to be putting my clothes back on at the end of an interview. Usually, I'm doing the exact opposite, right?
Yeah, it's better doing them naked, isn't it? Don't you feel the freedom?
Just stay naked.
There you go, Mac. That's a clip from Bob, just for me to you. That's all of us working together. Cut that for me next week, please, Mac.
You got it, brother.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.